Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, December 13th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game announced the guideline harvest level for the 2013 Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery Wednesday. It is 11,055 tons. The harvest level, also known as the GHL, determines how much the commercial fleet is allowed to catch. Last year's GHL was nearly 29,000 tons, a big jump from prior years after state scientists corrected an error in their data. But fewer herring than expected showed up last year. When the fishery closed, the fleet had caught less than half of what they were allowed. Dave Gordon is area management biologist for Fish and Game. He says after last season's events, managers opted for more cautious numbers in 2013.
The return last year caught us all by surprise, very much so, and there's no reason that we would have ever predicted what happened last year with that kind of a change. You know, all the biological models or predictive models in general have, you know, limitations and no amount of data, or a different model would have predicted the outcome that we did see in 2012.
Next year's GHL of 11,055 tons represents about 15% of the total predicted biomass rather than the usual 20. Gordon says sometimes nature offers up a surprise and that he still has confidence in the model used by the state. Fish and Game says the final GHL will be announced in late February. Teenage years are filled with change, and navigating relationships among peers is a big part of everyday life. Bullying and violence are just some of the pressures they face. In Sitka, a group of teens is pushing back against this norm by practicing open and honest communication. KCAW's Ann Bryce reports.
This is a video by the Sitka Youth Leadership Committee, or SILC.
A time that I felt like I didn't belong was when I felt left out by my peers whom I had full faith and trust in.
It felt like I just didn't want to be around those type of people, and made me feel worthless.
The group is made up of about a dozen high school students from Mount Edgecombe and Sitka High. They're describing how it feels to be without a sense of belonging.
I felt like I was in darkness. I was silenced, I was alone, I was not accepted, I was not cool enough, and I was left outside the circle of my peers.
Feelings get hurt and people talk a lot. There's a lot of gossip, things like that.
Katie Davis is a member of SILC. She's 16 and goes to Sitka High, where she says direct communication strengthened her personal relationships.
My friends were upset with me because I chose to hang out with other people on Halloween. I felt as if they just like shut me out, and then I was sad, and I learned that it wasn't going to get any better unless I said something about it. Once we finally communicated face to face instead of talking to other people and having it come around back to us, it was resolved like right then and there.
14% of high school students reported having been bullied two or more times a month. By using straightforward honesty, the committee hopes to create a community where people feel safe to express their emotions and inspired to work together. Julia Smith is a prevention coordinator at the local shelter, Sitkins Against Family Violence, or SAFE. She's working with members of SILC to replace violence with respect and compassion. She says it starts by asking some tough questions.
What are the societal factors that are contributing to this culture of violence, you know, that is either encouraging it to happen? Or what are those factors that inhibit it from happening? And how can we build upon those factors that are creating a culture of respect and a culture where violence is outside the norm?
Smith says we live in a culture of dominance where louder voices often get more attention.
We all have different rhythms and different styles of communicating. So how do we create a space where the more introverted personalities feel like they have the time and the space to speak and that they will be heard?
I'm constantly reminding people, you know, have you ever been made fun of? And they always say yes.
Veronica Nelson is a student at Sitka's alternative school, Pacific High. She says bullying is a part of life that needs to stop.
Someone has always been made fun of, no matter what, whether it was once in their life or 20 times a day or whatever. Someone's always been made fun of.
Nelson is in a leadership group at school, and like the youth in SILC, she's learned that by combining everyone's unique strengths, the outcome is that much more powerful.
I think everyone has a bit of a leader in them. In one way or another, whether it's being quiet when you need to be quiet. Sometimes I can't shut up. And then it's, you know, speaking up when you need to speak up. Some people can't speak up. So everyone has a piece of a leader in them. It's just a matter of bringing all of those together and making this giant group of leaders.
In 2011, the State of Alaska Department of Behavioral Health awarded a grant to Sitka's Primary Prevention Coalition. It's called Pathways to a Safer Sitka, and it will receive $200,000 every year over a four-year period. Youth leadership groups are an example of primary prevention programs which aim to stop violence before it ever starts.
When I feel like I don't belong, people put me down, reject me, and I'm all alone. Judgment is something that everybody does subconsciously, but it is a habit that needs to be broken. We need to love each other.
It is the best feeling in the world to be accepted and to belong.
Hate is violence.
We need to stop hate. It's time to take care of each other because we all belong.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
The Sitka Summer Music Festival's artistic director, Zul Bailey, is in Sitka this week to kick off the festival's capital campaign. 2 years ago, a board member purchased Stevenson Hall on the SJ campus for use as a headquarters for the festival. Bailey told the Sitka Chamber of Commerce yesterday that the primary goal of the festival fundraising this year was to put Stevenson Hall in the festival's name and adapt it for use as an office space, artistic housing, and rehearsal rooms in a small performance space. Bailey also performed solo during the luncheon. Bailey and his predecessor, festival founder Paul Rosenthal, both maintain that small gatherings like the chamber luncheon are an authentic venue for chamber music. KCAW's Robert Woolsey attended and sent this audio postcard.
The Sitka Summer Music Festival is now the premier classical music presenter in all of Alaska. Our mission has stayed very concise: to bring classical music and culture in that vein anywhere we can. We are movable, mobile. Our mothership is now in Sitka. This is huge because it has never really been in Sitka before, but yet we win the Sitka Summer Music Festival.
My first summer was in 07, and then Paul asked me in 08, and it kind of went into effect immediately for me to kind of start shadowing. So from 08 to 2012, I was around, and this past summer was my first completely by myself as Paul as a guest. And so now we're in the thick of things, hosting Autumn Classics as well as other things. And one of the things that I wanted to add to the table was every time I was in the Northwest, I would come through here and be here for periods of time. And that's also one of the things we're going to talk about today in the use of the new building, the new headquarters that we have in Stevenson Hall. So not only do we have a base of operations here, but I'm able to come through and spend a lot more time here. It's also a really interesting place because it not only houses our offices, but it's rehearsal space as well as a little performance space as well as housing for the artists that come up for the festival itself. It's ideal. If one were to actually sculpt an idyllic situation, they would envision this building on SJ campus. And sadly, we've become accustomed to going to concert halls to hear concerts. And I say sadly because when these pieces and compositions were originally written, they were kind of written for soiree-type settings, chamber music, a small room. And we're going to be able to do both now. And what's nice about it is that we have a gorgeous piano at Stevenson Hall. We have a nice facility that will get even nicer throughout this campaign. And we're going to start having informal settings where we can have social gatherings with what we're calling informances, kind of performances with information we're going to talk about behind the scenes of the music. We're going to have it open to the audience because the audiences might be, there'll be less than 100 people, obviously, but it'll be a nice get-together.
An audio postcard from this week's Chamber of Commerce luncheon featuring Sitka Summer Music Festival, artistic director and cellist Zul Bailey. There are two free informances planned at Stevenson Hall, 5:15 this evening and noon tomorrow. Also, the festival is holding a concert crawl fundraiser beginning at 6 p.m. tomorrow at Stevenson Hall. It's called From Russia with Love and will feature Bailey and visiting Russian pianist Natasha Peremsky. For more information, visit our website, kcaw.org. There's buzz in Washington that a recent report commissioned by the Department of Energy could speed up approval of export terminals for liquefied natural gas in the lower 48. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, some energy experts say the effect will be minimal on Alaska, but that doesn't mean there isn't a market for Alaska's gas.
The report says that overall, exporting LNG will result in a net benefit for the economy. The country has a glut of natural gas, a supply that Deloitte's Tom Choi says we underestimate. That supply could help meet the growing global demand.
Yeah, there could be enough enough of a market for lower 48 and Alaskan LNG.
Some advocates for exporting LNG hope the Department of Energy will take the report's findings into consideration when it weighs the pending 15 permit applications. Choi says the Department of Energy's delays could hurt the chances of U.S. LNG making it to foreign markets because Australia is developing its own pipeline.
Well, I think part of it depends on what the DOE does. If DOE delays further, then it makes Australia more attractive.
More attractive to Asian markets in Japan, Korea, and India, the same markets Alaska producers might eventually sell to if producers on the North Slope opt to plunk down the tens of billions of dollars required to build a pipeline. Charles Ebinger from the Brookings Institution says the state should skip the pipeline and build an export terminal in Prudhoe Bay.
A very reasonable question would be, has anybody seriously looked at an LNG project's cost in comparison to the pipeline route down the Tidewater? Because I think it would be cheaper.
Ebinger says a terminal off the North Slope would take significantly less time to build than a pipeline, meaning the gas could get to market sooner. Governor Sean Parnell has offered more than $350 million for a liquefaction plant on the North Slope. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online, kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, expect rain showers, highs around 41. Tonight, chance of rain in the evening with lows around 36. KCAW, Sitka.